Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of November 24, 2023. This week we pray in thanksgiving for God's gift of life and the many blessings God has bestowed upon us, even in a fallen world. We pray for our soldiers and veterans who look to the Lord in the day of trouble and always. Our first reading is from Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. And Ezekiel 34, verses 20 to 28. Therefore thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. I will make with them a covenant of peace, and banish wild beasts from the land, so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessing, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslaved them. They shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. Our next reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul writes, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the firstfruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says, all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Our next reading is from Matthew chapter 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, Then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near. Carry your brothers away from the front of the sanctuary and out of the camp." So they came near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, "Do not let the hair of your heads hang loose, and do not tear your clothes, lest you die and wrath come upon all the congregation. But let your brothers, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning that the Lord has kindled, and do not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting, lest you die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses. And the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Drink no wine or strong drink, you or your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. You are to distinguish between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and the clean, and you are to teach the people of Israel all the statutes that the Lord has spoken to them by Moses." Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his surviving sons, "Take the grain offering that is left of the Lord's food offerings and eat it unleavened beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place, because it is your due and your sons' due from the Lord's food offerings, for so I am commanded. But the breast that is waved and the thigh that is contributed, you shall eat in a clean place, you and your sons and your daughters with you, for they are given as your due and your sons' due from the sacrifices of the peace offerings of the people of Israel. The thigh that is contributed and the breast that is waved, they shall bring with the food offerings of the fat pieces to wave for a wave offering before the Lord. And it shall be yours and your sons with you as a due forever, as the Lord has commanded." Now Moses diligently inquired about the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burned up. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the surviving sons of Aaron, saying, Why have you not eaten the sin offering in the place of the sanctuary, since it is a thing most holy, and has been given to you, that you may bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord? Behold, its blood was not brought into the inner part of the sanctuary. You certainly ought to have eaten it in the sanctuary, as I commanded. And Aaron said to Moses, Behold, today they have offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and yet such things as these have happened to me. If I had eaten the sin offering today, would the Lord have approved? And when Moses heard that, he approved. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. There are times when we can remember the good times, when all was in harmony, when people were getting along and the fellowship was good. Then there may be a time when things turn, where something happens in the interpersonal relationships and things are not as good as they were. There's an amazing moment in the Old Testament, a golden time, if you will, a wonderful time. And then at a later point, there were some not so good times. But I want you to hear about this golden time, Exodus chapter 24. It's amazing. Then he said to Moses, Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but the others shall not come near, and the people shall not come up with him. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules, and all the people answered with one voice and said, All the words that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel, who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, Behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. Let's recount the history of the world a bit. God creates the world, creates Adam and Eve. Then there is the fall of Adam and Eve, and thus all humanity into sin. The world descends into corruption, chaos, and violence. God sends the flood. Noah and his family are spared. Humanity is sent throughout the world at the Tower of Babel when language is confused. All the nations are going to learn to worship false gods. My thought here is that these false gods were actually fallen angels who misled humanity. God is going to have to gather a people to himself. He calls Abraham, makes a people out of Abraham. Abraham has his son Isaac, through whom the nations will be blessed. Isaac will have two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob's line will be the line of blessing. Jacob will have 12 sons. These would eventually become the 12 tribes of Israel. They will end up in Egypt due to the slavery of Jacob's son Joseph. The descendants of these men, the 12 tribes of Israel, will be enslaved over a period of a few hundred years. God will bring them out of Egypt, a land of idolatry, both to false gods and to their stomachs and the security that they knew in Egypt. We see the problem of the known versus the unknown. Israel would be God's people, but because of sin and fallenness, they would not be fully faithful to God. There would be hiccups in their loyalty. That is because of the old Adam, the corruption of the flesh. We want to do well in so many ways, but we fail. The elders would go up and make a covenant with God, meeting him in his holy realm, ironing out the ways that they would live in order to honor God's ways for them. And then many in Israel would seek to have Aaron make them a golden calf and worship it, and then they would be punished for committing idolatry. As the people of Israel lived and moved in the desert, they were to keep what God had prescribed for them. Have you ever worked at something dangerous, even incredibly dangerous? Those who work with electrical power must be incredibly careful. Becoming grounded with the wire in hand could be deadly. Being in a tree and touching a power line will result in death. Certain actions can absolutely result in death. For the person that works in a field of radioactive, biological, chemical, or viral agents, failures in protocol can be deadly. Not suiting up properly, not having all safety equipment properly installed can lead to death. Mishandling certain things can lead to death. You get the picture. In Leviticus chapter 10, now we've heard the names of Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. They were there in Exodus chapter 24 when all was good. They were doing their duties, interceding for the people of Israel in the tabernacle. The two brought unauthorized fire before the Lord as they put it in the censer. The tabernacle in certain instances is much like an extension of God's holy realm. God provided protection for the elders of Israel in Exodus 24 as they came before him into a heavenly type of space, what we in our understanding or lack of understanding might call the heavenly dimension. They're able to walk from earthly spaces into heavenly spaces and dine with God, similar to a holy communion event in Exodus chapter 24. In the tabernacle, they are to follow all the commands that the Lord has laid out. It is literally the difference between life and death. Their failure in using unauthorized fire at this point in Leviticus is like touching a power line. It is instant death. Fire came from the Lord and consumed them, and they died. I studied the commentary on Leviticus by John Kleinig to examine what was happening in this chapter. Where did the fire come from? That was a good question. It was not the fire that was prescribed by God to use. I'm talking about the fire that they put in the censer. Did they get the fire from outside the tabernacle? Was the fire used for another purpose that was not fully wholesome or for unclean purposes? It was not fully sanctioned, and so fire originating from God consumes them. Yes, they disobeyed God, but Moses and Aaron both disobeyed God at times too. This particular error was deadly, and Nadab and Abihu die in the tabernacle. It was truly a tragedy. They have to be carried out, and carried out of the camp. The dead are unclean. Kleinig points out that even in that culture, because of the influences, there were still some elements of ancestor, elder worship, and animism. They were, after all, surrounded by other nations that engaged in such things. This isn't because religion evolved. It is because there were some practices still rooted in darkness from the places where they had come. And practices regarding the dead and honoring the dead were not to be confused with the holy practices of the tabernacle. Some such practices include this idea of tearing the clothes. The mourning could not be confused or conflated with the holy rites of the tabernacle, which had to be carried out, which were absolutely essential. Kleinig mentions that verses 8 to 11 are important directives for those serving in the tabernacle, drinking no wine or strong drink when going in to serve in the tabernacle, or a person would die. The holy and common, clean and unclean had to be kept separate. Also, the people were to be taught the statutes of the Lord. They were to be catechized. This is a distinction between the true God and the gods of the other nations, whose rites were to be kept secret, only told to the initiates. The true God works in truth, declares truth, and wants us to operate in truth. Our God is transparent. He does not tell lies, and he shows us what is important, what he wants us to know. He gives us his statutes and shows us his ways that we might live. In the meantime, the rites must continue to be properly observed. Moses commanded Aaron's surviving sons to eat the unleavened bread, which was most holy, and to eat the breast and thigh of the wave offering in a clean place. The goat offering, however, was burned up on the altar. That was to be eaten to make atonement for the congregation, eaten in the sanctuary as commanded. It was not supposed to have been burned up. Aaron seems to be saying that he committed similar errors. There are some errors that might be committed which were not deadly. The error of Nadab and Abihu, that error was deadly. Was it because they were in the holiest part of the tabernacle, and that was why they were consumed? Whereas the other errors were certainly errors, but they were not deadly errors. The truth of the matter is that in the context of worship, errors will be committed. It is not what anyone would desire, but because of human sinfulness and frailty, we may commit errors as we seek to serve the Lord, whether it be in the liturgy or in the course of offering the sacraments. The wine may be spilled, getting everywhere. When cloths are used to wipe the chalice or communion ware, where does that water that washes them go? Do we use water that is then dumped on the ground in a sanctioned place, or do we run it through the washing machine? We want to do well. We want to be reverent, but we're going to get mixed up in things where we ourselves need to be restored, forgiven, and atoned for. We do have grace. Nadab and Abihu suffered death rather than the people. That could be seen as a merciful thing. It could have been the people. They could have been destroyed. But Nadab and Abihu were mediators for them, bearing the brunt of the fire that came from God. For us who serve God, there is not the punishment that fell on Nadab and Abihu. That is very fortunate, and it is because God has sent a mediator, even for those of us who serve him in the worship context. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." What did that mediator do? He took death upon himself, the punishment which would have been reserved for us. He paid for all sin. And that includes the sin that is the error of failing to do according to God's commands and keep what God has commanded, even in the context of worship. We ought to hold worship as sacred and solemn, to worship in reverence. This doesn't mean that we're automatons, but it means that worship is a serious thing. God is at work, and he intercedes for us through his righteous and holy Son, through whom we have forgiveness and life, for being spared the rod and the fire of punishment and the death which comes with it. We can be thankful. God comes not to us in terror, but his gracious love is extended to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Lord Heavenly Father, there are many times where we fail to do what you have commanded. For our sin and error, we repent and ask you forgiveness in all the realms of our lives. Teach us your ways and help us to live to your glory. We thank you for the righteousness you cover us with in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray in thanksgiving for your beautiful gift of life and the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us, living even in this fallen world. Lord, we pray for our soldiers and veterans everywhere who look to you in faith. We pray that you would be with them in the day of trouble and be with them always, helping them to trust in your promises for them. Lord, we pray that you'll be with pastors and missionaries everywhere who seek to bring your gospel throughout the world. Lord, we pray that you would be with those who require healing and restoration in body, mind, and spirit. We pray for your healing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verse this week comes from Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. All of our verses, all of our scriptures come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with me. Come not in terrors as the King of Kings, but kind and good with healings in thy wings. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before me. before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity. By invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, I bind this day to me forever by power of faith, Christ's incarnation, His baptism in the Jordan River, His cross of death for my salvation, His bursting from the spiced tomb, His riding up the heavenly way, His coming at the day of doom, I bind unto myself today. I bind unto myself today the power of God to hold and lead, His eye to watch, His might to stay, His ear to hearken to my need. The wisdom of my God to teach, His hand to guide, His shield to ward, the word of God to give me speech, His heavenly host to be my guard. Against the demon's snares of sin, the vice that gives temptation force, the natural lust that war within, the hostile foes that mar my course, or few or many, far or nigh, in every place and in all hours, against them is hostility. I bind to me those holy powers. I bind unto myself the name, the strong name of the Trinity. By invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, of whom all nature has creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word, praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord.